You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We like to get her on once a quarter if we can to give us a little update about all those naughty scammers out there, because if it didn't work, they wouldn't keep doing it. Lisa Schiller is here from the Better Business Bureau. Good morning, Lisa. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And that's accurate, isn't it? These scams are successful, and that's why we keep seeing them, because tragically, people keep falling for them.
Yes, unfortunately, that is exactly the case. I always think, you know, when I do an interview with a TV reporter, I put out a press release or I get on your show, I think, oh, we're not going to get any more scam reports because everybody's listening. But unfortunately, not always the case.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why I think, too, for folks who are listening, it's important you share what you know and talk to the people in your circle and in your community and let them know what's going on. Because, again, not everybody listens. Everybody's got a life. They have their own things going on, and you can't possibly catch everything. But if you learn something, then give folks a heads up about it. So, Lisa, let's talk about what the top 10 scams that are going on right now.
Oh, okay. Well, we just released our top 10 report very recently, and investment scams was number one for the second year in a row.
Wow.
So prior to that, I know online shopping scams was number one for 3 years in a row. So things are up a little bit. Investment, we have it also attached to cryptocurrency, because almost all investment scams that we're finding that have been reported to our BBB scam tracker involve cryptocurrency.
No.
So something to be aware of. Yeah. I know, right? So shocking. Yeah. So scary stuff. And it's one of those, you know, grooming scams, just like romance scams, which is number three, and actually attached to friendship scams. We've included that this year because so many people are, you know, communicating with people they think are friends. You know, they're getting private messages through Facebook. They believe it's from their friend, but, you know, the friend has gotten hacked. That's the big thing. So yeah, those. So number one and number three, investment scams, number one, romance scams, number three. And those are grooming scams where, you know, the scammer kind of leads you on for a little while and ropes you in and then hits you.
Is that, would that be included in, like, what I get now, the bulk of, you know, scammy looking things are the text messages that say, hey, are we on for golf tomorrow? And And you say, of course, I'm sorry, this is the wrong number. I don't know who you are. And it's not so much I'm sure it's bot driven, but it's not so much, they're trying to get you to, I've been told that they want to get you into a cryptocurrency type of situation where they're like, hey, we go, oh, I'm sorry, my assistant gave me the wrong phone number. By the way,
here's a great deal.
Aren't you interested? Do you want to be interested in this thing? So that would be a grooming scam.
Yeah, I mean, because, well, they're engaging with you. Well, you know, honestly, Greg, I think it depends how long they would, you know, keep conversing with you. Because generally, when I think of grooming scams, think of the romance scams where they rope you in, you know, time goes on and now you're, you know, your heart is in it, you're attached. Now all of a sudden you're in a relationship. And 2 months later, you know, boom, they need money for emergency surgery or something.
Yeah. Right.
But I know what you're talking about with those tech scams. We have not gotten reports on that in quite a while, but those are mainly, you know, where the scammer wants to make sure that there's somebody live on the other. And that's why we always say, you know, resist the urge to say, you know, I'm sorry. What golf game, you know?
So is it best just not to answer them? I do not answer phone numbers I don't recognize. They can leave a message. If it's someone legitimate, they will leave a message and then I can call them back.
Right, Jane, that's exactly what our advice always is. You know, just don't answer the phone. Don't respond to a text message if you don't know who they are. Of course, when I follow my own advice, I miss an important call from, you know, my doctor's office or something. Oh, didn't recognize that number.
Right.
I mean, honestly, what I was doing is I am a smart aleck. Jane knows this. And I was trying to have a smart aleck conversation with this person. And then I realized that's probably not the best way to go. And I don't know, with iPhones, I have an Android, I have a Google Pixel, and it immediately drops down a box saying report a scam, and you can report it and block it, and then it's off your phone. And that's what I do now. They send something, I don't recognize it, report and block, that's it, and move on. Don't even try to be funny, because people will take screenshots for clout on social media. Just resist. Resist the urge.
It's not worth it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, being a smart aleck is so much fun, you know, especially when you're dealing with these scammers. So I would suggest, you know, if you get, you know, I don't know, like a computer tech scam or something, a phone number, you know, call that, you know, *67 first. They can't see, you know, whose phone number they're calling from, and, you know, give them a hard time that way.
There you go.
Ooh.
I've got the Better Business Bureau's endorsements to be the smart aleck. There was one other quick thing I wanted to mention before we moved on was I just filed my taxes this week. I know. But I just filed my taxes this week. And one of the most important things our tax guy said was that the IRS will never call or text you for information. They will send you a letter. And from that letter, they will then try to set up a phone call or some kind of meeting. If you get a text or a phone call from the IRS, don't. Wait for an official letter from the department.
Thanks, Greg. Absolutely. Yeah. Agree with that.
Sue on the text line listening on WAUK says, I've had several friends whose Facebook accounts have been taken over, and then they post all these pictures and stories of how they're making tons of money with crypto. I bought a new house. I bought a boat. When I reach out to them by text, they say they were hacked.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really the big thing that's been going on. I think that's part of the reason that our investment scams is number one once again on our list. We're seeing this nonstop. In fact, just scams through social media are up. I think it's like 64%.
Wow.
It's really high. And scams through text messages also very high. So social media, text messages.
When you're talking about these, you said number one is the crypto scams and the investment scams. I would think that the people who tragically are biting more on this are younger people. People my age, I'm suspicious of crypto the way it is. I'm highly unlikely to be swayed that this is the way for me to get my first yacht. But I can see younger people falling for something like that because they're more open to that.
So this is interesting. So these are part of our statistics. I had to kind of thumb through them. By age, so 18 to 24-year-old, the number one scam that they, you know, have reported is employment, followed by online purchasing scams. And then the third is investment. So it's in the top three. But for those age 65 and older, investment scams was number one.
No kidding.
Yes, I know. It's surprising, right? With romance scams being number two and home improvement being number three.
Home improvement scams?
Well, and you know, our statistics are showing that the reason for that is a lot of the door-to-door stuff. A lot of the door-to-door stuff is working. You know, they catch you off guard. They knock on your door. Oh, I was in the neighborhood. I did some work up the block for Joe over the greenhouse. And, you know, your asphalt, your driveway looks terrible. I happen to have leftover material. I can, you know, do this job right now. Or again, you know, storm chasers. I mean, I feel like our weather has just been weird. I mean, mild, can't really complain to it, but a lot of wind, you know, rain, hail. Yeah. So a lot of door knockers and let's do business on the doorstep. And especially, you know, people are taken aback and they go, oh my gosh, really? I didn't see my roof. You know, had this damage. You're right here. It's convenient. Okay.
If you're just joining us, Lisa Schiller is our guest from the Better Business Bureau. We are giving it a little update on scams of which to beware. And after what you just said, Lisa, about people 65 and older, the most who are falling for these investment scams, talk to your parents, please. Yeah. Yeah. Talk to your parents and talk to your grandparents.
And PJ on the live stream says, make sure your passwords are strong and change your passwords. I love my Uncle Pete so dearly, but I get a friend request from him from a hacked account probably two or three times a year.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's bad. You got to make sure those passwords are strong on social media.
Adam in Oregon, listening in Madison, on WXCO, says, I never answered the scam. I always block the contact, then delete it and report it as junk. Does that actually make a difference, Lisa?
Well, you know, it's supposed to. But, you know, we know that scammers are always coming up with new numbers and new, you know, lists of various kinds. The only thing is I would say before you do all of that, report it, you know, report it to our BBB scam tracker. It's a great online tool, super fast, because it helps us know what's going on and, you know, we can get statistics out there and educational information.
And Matt from Middleton texting in, I have had the toll bill text scam. That was really big last month. And also had a bigger one with someone on the phone saying my info was retrieved in a drug raid. And they were really quite convincing. That's got to make you sit up and go, what?
I don't remember being part of any drug business.
You know, that is one of those heinous scams, just like the sextortion scams, say, you know, it's terrible because, you know, it gets very scary for the person that's receiving. And especially, you know, we see a lot of, older Americans getting those types of things and, you know, actually admitting in our scam tracker, I pay them because, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed or I was so devastated. I just wanted them to go away. Sure. And it's like, no, you know, heinous. Yeah. So that sounds like the same type of thing as that sextortion. You've been watching porn and I have proof.
We're going to continue our conversation with Lisa Schiller. If you have a question for her or you'd just like to comment, 855-752-4842. Brian from Milwaukee, I see you on the line. We will take you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no. Just don't know what else to do about it. James, James,
you're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Sweet Calby on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lisa Schiller is here from the Better Business Bureau talking about the latest, most popular scams. Ooh. And they are popular because, tragically, they work. Brian from Milwaukee has been waiting very patiently on the phone. Good morning, Brian. What'd you want to ask Lisa or what'd you want to say?
Good morning. Yeah, just a few questions for Lisa. I have on my phone a wonderful feature that will actually tell me if it's a potential spam risk or if the number is censored or privatized in some way, if it's like a call from a doctor's office. And I have two things going on where I am looking for work, so I'm applying for a lot of jobs.
Yep.
And I have my resumes on job boards. I also have a lot of doctor appointments, so my doctor calls me all the time, and I get restricted number because, of course, they don't want you seeing the number the doctor's calling from. In those cases, is it best to answer the phone or just let it go to voicemail, because if there is a chance where it could be spam, which sometimes it is, and you get the, oh, hi, Brian, you know, we're calling about your car warranty. Well, you know what? I haven't had a car in 10 years, so I would love to have you try on that car warranty.
Right.
Do I answer the call or just let it go to voicemail and then decipher what to do after I listen to the voicemail, like, oh, block the call or whatever?
Great question, Brian. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a tough one because, like you said, you're applying for jobs. You have doctor's offices calling. I can totally relate to all of that. You know, we always say try not to answer the phone if you don't know who it is. But in a case like that, I get it. You know, it's kind of your call. I would personally think that, you know, both of them being important calls that you don't want to miss, I would think that both would leave a message,
right?
Whether it be a potential employer or a doctor's office. And that way you can call back. And, you know, my other guess is that they probably run into that all the time because so many people, you know, are not answering their phone when they don't recognize a number for this very reason.
Yeah. We also had another comment. Chris in Janesville listening in Madison on WMDX. My aunt passed away last year. Since then, I have gotten 6 friend requests from her. You got to be really careful on Facebook.
Yeah.
You do.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and Facebook has a link, a special link where you can report scams and any type of fraud you think is going on. So, you know, take time to report anything like that. I mean, you know, the hacking has just got to stop. It's so out of control and it's, you know, it's driving all of us nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, absolutely report these things. Yeah, let them know. It's their platform.
And you had mentioned too, Lisa, that the number two scam is employment. Does this go back to a lot of people having their resumes online? It's on Indeed and all those things. Is that the connection there?
Yeah, that is the main connection there. And actually, Indeed was the number one platform that they like to use.
Wow.
To obtain information. Yes. So, I mean, oh my gosh, employment scams are just, they've been coming in fast and furious really since COVID, you know, because, you know, as we know, the job climate changed so much then and it's continued. I mean, it's number two still. So it's still there. Yes. So scammers are you know, reaching out to people after they find their resumes or information online and, you know, offering them a great position. And, you know, when you're unemployed, you know, and you're in need of a job and you're, you know, getting desperate and, you know, things are not going very well, you want it to be true. You know, you want to believe it. So, you know, people go, oh gosh, they're offering to pay me a lot of money. I can remotely. There are all these great things about this new job. And so they move forward with clicking on the link. And then, of course, can you imagine all the information they want? You know, you think you're applying for a job. So mm-hmm. It's not uncommon for a scammer to ask for a social security number, an address, a name and birth date and, you know, driver's license. People are taking photos and messaging with that text and email. So I've got to be ever so careful.
How can you protect yourself from that, Lisa?
Employment scams?
Yeah.
Really, really, you have to do your homework. You know, if you, first of all, if somebody reaches out to you that, you know, regarding a job that you did not apply for, even if they claim that they saw your resume and, oh, Jane, you sound like the perfect fit for this position, you have to do your research. Call the company, go on their website, call and speak with HR. They'll be happy to tell you, you know, yes, this position has been posted or no, this position is not available. I think businesses now are so used to, especially the big, you know, big name, big company names, they're so used to having their name impostered, you know, that, you know, this is
doesn't surprise them.
Yeah.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. So you really have to do your research. Of course, use BBB.org. You know, we have millions of reports on free reports on companies. You know, we'll lead you right to their website as well.
It's a great resource, the Better Business Bureau website. It really is. You should check it out. And it is important, again, when you feel you got scammed or you're getting scammed, to report it to the BBB.
Please. Yes. Yeah. Appreciate that. I check our scam tracker every day. So I go through them. I reach out when I need you or they get posted for other people. Sometimes it's a complaint, so we'll let you know that. Super fast, easy form to fill out.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Now, after talking to you, I'm assuming that the message I got from Comedy Central to call them back about this great job is not accurate, but I'll check it out later.
Comedy Central only has one E.
Lisa,
but I think that's legitimate, Jane.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau, it's always such a pleasure. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for taking some time out for us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Have a great day. News coming up next. And then when we return, the golden age of game shows.
Yeah.
We're remembering Wink Martindale, and we're going to talk about your favorite game shows, which ones you loved, which ones you miss, which ones you wish would come back. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball action just getting underway. The Brewers hosting the Tigers are broadcast. Just getting underway, 11:35. If you would like to listen, you can catch the game today on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. The crew hosting the Tigers are broadcast now underway on those Civic Media radio stations. Wink Martindale passed away yesterday at the age of 91. And he was a longtime game show host. If you spent any time watching game shows, I remember him from Tic-Tac-Toe.
Yeah.
We used to watch it in college.
That was the main one for me. What he was, when it came to game shows and Wink Martindale, I feel like that was the only one I watched of his. All the other ones were whatever. But
something
yeah,
else.
Tic-Tac-Toe, I loved.
Tic-Tac-Toe, he did High Rollers, he did Debt, 96 to 98. And he actually kind of followed a trajectory that a lot of these game show hosts did. They started off on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys started off on the radio and then turned into a game show host. And yeah. Wink Martindale eventually became a producer as well. But that has got us thinking about our favorite game shows.
Absolutely.
They don't make them like they used to.
That's actually not true.
Really?
Yeah. So, because Pat was saying the same thing. His concern was that they're all based in reality. They're all about, like, how do I stab you in the back? How do I be the worst person?
Well, it's all survivor-based,
and that's,
right?
And that's a lot of reality TV shows. And that, I guess, yeah, you call it, it's not reality. It's a game show. It's a terrible
it's a bad
game show
soap opera.
With worse people. But they still have, like, I was visiting a friend in the hospital, and we were just sitting there. They wanted to rest, and we were watching Pictionary in the middle of the day. And this wasn't old. This was new with Jerry O'Connell hosting.
Really?
With some, like, celebrities from sitcoms on. They still do these shows. Steve Harvey still hosts The Family Feud.
Like, wow.
There are game shows out there. It's just, you know, we
you got to, well, now you have
they're midday.
Right. And you have to look for them a little bit
yes,
more because they were so common in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. Everybody had at least four or five different game shows.
Yeah.
that we're on.
And there's a big, and there's, and well, I don't know how big it is now, but if you look on Hulu, there's a lot of primetime game shows happening now being hosted by celebrities, like, you know, like they're like the Match Game and this, like it, they're out there. I prefer personally the old school. You can go to Game Show Network and see reruns from for decades. And I like that. I don't want to watch a millionaire A-list celebrity hosting a game show. I want to watch Wink Martindale or someone in today's world that's like that, who's just a personality. They're charming and fun, and we're going to have a good time. Those are the game shows I missed.
Which game show do you miss? Which one did you love? Who was the best host? 855-752-4842. This is our audio survey segment where we lighten things up a little bit just for the last half an hour of the program. Game shows in the U.S., which ones do you miss? Which was your favorite? When you mentioned Match Game, yeah. I loved that show as a kid. Loved it. With Gene Rayburn.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember, for whatever odd reason, is his microphone. Because he had that long, skinny microphone.
With the little bulb.
With a little bulb on the top.
That's the same thing that Bob Barker had. He had that. He always held that long microphone with the tiny little top.
Yes.
And it was always the same.
I always wanted one of those.
Me too. We should get those here.
Oh, I like that idea.
I was always a fan of Press Your Luck.
Press Your Luck.
Does Come On, Come On, No Whammies, No Whammies Stop mean anything to you?
Say again.
Come On, Come On, No Whammies, No Whammies Stop. It's a game show where you're answering questions, you're winning money, and then you build up like these turns on this big board, and it's just flashing lights, and you hit your button and it will land on a money amount. Or it lands on this little troll-like creature called a whammy, and it takes out all of your money.
What?
And there's actually a movie that's coming out about a guy who mathematically broke down all of the potentials.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, people have, no pun intended, have gamed these systems. There was Quiz Show from so long ago that
which is a great film.
Yeah. I mean, people who have the time can look at the statistics and say, well, this number comes up so many times, I could win this game. And sometimes they do.
855-752-4842. We're talking game shows. Your favorite game show, the best host, what I loved about Match Game, for one thing, I think they were all drinking.
Oh, God.
Because that was the loosest group of celebrities you have ever seen. Charles Nelson Reilly, I remember.
Ooh.
Who was Jack Klugman's ex-wife?
Oh, God, I'll look it up.
Look that up, because she was always on there, too. Britt. Her name was Britt. Very sassy, very spicy. The Match Game was wonderful. Michael.
Brett Summers.
Oh, she was just hilarious.
That brings me to what I think is probably, when it comes to I don't disagree with you, Jane. I feel like anyone who was on a game show in the 70s, because I brought it up to Pat this morning. I mean, Richard Dawson would be arrested today. That man full out made out with women on The Family Feud.
Whether they wanted to or not.
Exactly. But the one, if we're talking about wit and sass, I don't know if there's anything better than Hollywood Squares.
Ooh.
You got Paul Lynde in the middle.
Yes.
Just making all those entendres.
Oh, yes.
Or Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yep.
You got to have an old gay man from Hollywood who no one knew was gay.
Right.
Shh. But it was just the sassiest fun. I love Hollywood Squares.
They tried to bring that back I can remember, wasn't Whoopi Goldberg in the Center Square?
She was the executive producer. She was in charge of all that. It didn't last long.
It didn't.
It just doesn't have, I don't want to get into the whole, you can't say this on television anymore, but things were a little looser back then. And even though they weren't swearing or being overtly sexual, it was the double entendre of
absolutely.
It all that just made it so wonderful to watch.
Absolutely. Bunch of texts coming in from WMDX in Madison. Lots of love for Bob Barker.
Oh, God, of course. Get your pet spayed or neutered.
I miss Bob Barker. The Nickelodeon obstacle show Do or Dare is pretty good.
Double Dare.
Steve from Milwaukee. Oh, Double Dare.
Yep.
Bryant from Madison on WMDX. I would love to see the Joker's Wild with Jack Barry.
Oh, that was a fun Banjo Doe.
If we could only dig him up and bring him back to life. Alice from Cudahy, what's my line?
Oh, yeah.
Great humor. Oh, that was a great show.
What was the old game show where it was,
I think that's What's My Line.
It's What's My Line? Really?
Yes, oh, okay. Because you had to figure out what they did for a living.
I thought they had to guess who there were three people, and they all said the same name, and you had to figure out which one was the actual person.
We need some clarification on this. 855-752-4842. Wink Martindale passed away yesterday at the age of 91. He was a very game show host for many, many years. I remember him from Tic-Tac-Toe. We used to watch it in college. Yeah, yeah. Who is your favorite game show host? Which one did you love? Which one do you wish would come back? Brian from Milwaukee, I loved Press Your Luck.
Yes.
Luckiest Man in America is the new movie about Michael Larson, who memorized the patterns of the board.
Yep, that was there. And there's another movie or television documentary about another game show where someone did, they crunched all of the numbers and they figured out all the computations and they won. And okay, if you are so smart.
Yes.
And in so much time on your hands that you can work this out. I'm sorry, Press Your Luck, but that guy gets to win. He's not cheating. He just figured it out. He doesn't have a little thing in his ear or a little, no, he gamed your system, pun intended.
Alice from Cudahy listening on WFHR. The new Hollywood Squares is annoying. All that screaming.
Yeah, that's the problem when you get comedians in a room. They just talk over each other.
Well, everybody wants to be the funniest one in the room, right? It's a little exhausting. Brian said that movie, by the way, to tell the truth, was just released April 4th. Press Your Luck.
No, Luckiest Man in America is the movie. To Tell the Truth was the show we were talking about.
To Tell the Truth.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian from Milwaukee, for clarifying that. Yeah. Kevin from Wausau, we're talking about favorite game shows, listening on WXCO. Whose line is it anyway with Drew Carey?
I will say that.
So good.
But I will even go further. Whose Line Is It Anyways? UK with Clive Anderson. That the original show from England where some of those guys came over to America and did it. Oh my gosh, that improv humor back then.
Kevin from Wausau, I will go back and watch old reruns of that show.
Oh yeah.
Whose Line Is It Anyway? They were brilliant.
Yeah.
They were really brilliant. And if, as you said, if you want to see improv to the nth degree, I don't know that there was anybody better than those guys.
They're fantastic.
Carrie from Tosa, The Gong Show. With Chuck Barris. Oh.
That show was the pinnacle of how much drugs can we do?
Seriously.
And while also putting on a game show.
855-752-4842. We're reminiscing about game shows. What was your favorite game show? What do you still watch? Jeopardy's still around. Been around forever.
Wheel of Fortune is still around.
Right. Price is Right.
Drew Carey's been hosting The Price is Right, I think, for almost as long as Bob Barker did. Hold on.
That's impressive. Calvin, what about you? Our resident young person. Is a game show something that you watch?
Yeah, I watch every occasion. I watch occasionally with my parents. The new $25,000 pyramid with Michael Strahan is okay.
Yeah.
Password with Jimmy Fallon is okay, but I'm more of a trivia guy. I like The Wall. The Wall is pretty good.
Where? Oh. What is The Wall?
I think it's on CBS. It's so the premise is that there's this giant wall. It's like, if you ever play a game where you drop a ball into the pegs and it drops down.
Yep.
So there's the giant version of those, and it's
Plinko.
Like, yes. And it's a partner, like two people go on as a team to try to win money. One person like goes in the back and doesn't get to see what the wall is doing and answers trivia questions. And then the other person is like deciding where they drop the balls from.
Oh my God, that sounds so involved.
It does.
A little involved. And then I also like The Weakest Link with Jane Lynch.
Oh, my God.
That was so brutal.
Yeah, she was so mean. Not Jane Lynch, but the original.
The original, she was scary. PJ also just mentioned The Weakest Link is awesome. And Tom from L.A. mentioning The Newlywed Game. Oh, oh my God. If you watch some of those episodes, it's so cringeworthy.
It's so like oh, you're going to fight all the way home today. So Bob Barker hosted The Price is Right for 35 years. Drew Carey has been hosting it since 2007. So not as long, but still, he's been hosting it for nearly 20 years now. And there was a time back, I don't remember when The Price is Right did an all Plinko edition where every game was Plinko. And I was like, I'm here for it. I watched it. It was one of the most depressing hours of television because so many people just lost. It just lost. I mean, it was like one guy won and everyone else just lost. You're like, we need different games. Don't ever do this again. And yeah. They never did.
Well, and there was some producer who lost their job after they came up with that. Barb from Waukesha, listening on WAUK, the Newlywed Game and the Dating Game. The Dating Game.
That talk about cringe. Oh, so gross.
But it's so worth watching just for the fashions.
Yes.
Just for the clothing.
If I was your date,
yes.
What would we do?
What would be your perfect date? That was a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody, for taking part with that. We have to move along and wrap things up when we return with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Governor Gunslinger Edition. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up on the show tomorrow, Jam Pack Show.
Oh, yes.
Jim Santel will be here, our friend and colleague from Amicus, a law review that you can hear across the network on Saturdays from 9 to 11. Highly encourage you to check out Jim's show. We have a lot to discuss with Mr. Santel. And then in hour number two, Brad Toll from Discover Green Bay is going to join us to talk about the economic impact. There is something coming to Green Bay.
Oh.
The NFL draft next week.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yeah. Yep.
So lots of things going to be going on in Green Bay and a big economic kiss. Yeah. Really, for that area.
It was one of those things when they said, it's coming to Green Bay. Cool. In 2025, you're like, that's so far away. And now it's next week.
Now it's next week. Brittany Merlot will be here, as she always is on Thursdays, for a little weather and wine. Find out what we got coming up for the next couple of days and then into the weekend. And then we'll talk all things sports at 11:30 tomorrow with J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So I hope you can join us for that. Right now, though, it is 11:53. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Daniel Bison, Molly Beck with the byline. Headline reads... Brett Favre talked politics with Wisconsin Republicans, but has no plans to run for governor.
Oh, no. What are we going to do, Wisconsin?
Sources telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel earlier this year, the former Green Bay quarterback talked to a couple of GOP operatives about his possible potential political future in Wisconsin. Of course, Favre did appear at a rally for Donald Trump in Green Bay before the presidential election. came out very much on the side of the Republicans.
Yeah.
But isn't this interesting that within their own ranks, it just feels like the Wisconsin GOP doesn't feel like they have anybody who's gonna who they can put up.
No.
They're tapping Brett Favre, who lives in Mississippi.
Who is also linked to a scandal for embezzlement. And also, I'm not saying someone who has it can't, but he is admitted to have now has Parkinson's disease. To me, that seems like that his health should be paramount to him not running for any elected seat here in Wisconsin, unless he wants to run for alderman. But also, but Jane, that goes back to exactly what we've been talking about. He doesn't live here anymore. He hasn't lived here for a long time. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know much about Wisconsin politics, I'll bet you. And now he's going to walk in here and say, like, I could
be governor.
That's what we're dealing with, another guy, a bored rich guy who said, I'll do that.
I could try that.
Now, hey, kudos to the GOP for probably saying, yeah.
A spokesperson for Favre has told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that is not in the cards for him.
Good.
Which is good. I'm glad to hear that. Although,
yeah,
I had a thought when I saw the story this morning. Mm-hmm. If he would choose to run,
yes,
I would volunteer to work on some of his campaign materials. Because really, you don't even have to use his name. All you need is one particular photo from Brett Favre's past, and everyone would know who it was.
For the record, I've never seen this photo, thank God.
You'd be traumatized forever. Oh. I'm still trying to scrape it from my brain. Yeah, that would come up too.
Yeah.
If he would ever decide to run into politics.
Yeah.
The sharing of that photo.
Don't worry, I'm sure he's repented and he loves Jesus and it's fine. It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, true. Does that stuff like that even count anymore?
No. 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 Silly.
The 55-year-old Hall of Famer would have issues if he decided to run in Wisconsin. First, he doesn't live here. He could, of course, move here if he decided to run.
Carpetbagger.
And then there were some other issues of accusations of harassing women.
Yep.
Things like that. And the latest thing in Mississippi involving taxpayer money intended for the needy, which instead went to his alma mater and his daughter's school for a new volleyball facility.
But he did nothing wrong, Jane.
Apparently not. And that still has not been resolved, as far as I know.
I didn't expect this to go very far. But the mere fact that it's being mentioned, you know, it smacks of Herschel Walker running for the Senate in Georgia, where you're like, oh, that's great. The old timey. I mean, at this point, he's 55 years old. He's years out of the game. Dude, just be an elder statesman of football
and enjoy your life.
Enjoy your life. Enjoy your money.
Take care of yourself.
Yes, that's the thing too.
Take care of yourself.
You're on a journey, bud.
Yep.
You need to be surrounded by healthy people, doctors, and friends. Don't worry about politics.
We wish you well. Just you don't want to run for elected office.
Run for governor of Mississippi.
There's an idea. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, we have a jam-packed show coming up for you tomorrow, so I hope you can join us. We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.